Good morning. Well, Maywood, I'm up here again. Thank you, Jesus. So today we're going to be reading out of John 7, just continue working through John. It's John 7, 30 to 32. But before I read that scripture, I want to give a brief recap. So there was a festival. Jesus, I don't want to say he snuck in there, but he didn't show up with his brothers, his siblings and stuff. And he shows up there and he's preaching at this festival in the temple. And he calls out to the crowd and he tells them, he says that they know who he is. They know where he came from. And God is with him. Then he goes ahead and he tells them, he says that they don't know God. And he knows God because he came from God and God has sent him to them. Well, first of all, the people that he's talking to are the religious leaders of that time. These people, it's not like he's shouting it out to people don't know what they're talking about. These people have studied their entire lives the scripture. They know Moses' law. They're the ones that dictate. If anybody wants to know what God's word is, if anybody wants to know what God's direction is, they come to these people, and they're the ones that guide them and direct them. And Jesus just blew them out of the water. Jesus told them, hey, you don't even know who God is. But that's okay. I'm here to help you. I was sent here for you. So then we get into this. We get into the scripture we're going into today, which is John 7, 30 to 32. And the whole thing about this is when belief comes, there will be resistance. This is something that we all deal with. If you are a Christian, there is some kind of resistance that you're going to have to deal with. Myself, most of it is internal, but I don't know about anybody else. So I'm going to go ahead and read this scripture. It's, like I said, it's John 7, 30 to 32. It says, then the leaders tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time had not come. Many among the crowds at the temple believed in him. After all, they said, would you expect the Messiah to do more miraculous signs than this man has done? When the Pharisees heard this, the crowds were whispering such things. They and the priests sent temple guards to arrest Jesus. So what just happened there? They got upset. They're like, Jesus comes in here, busts him out. And so the first thing they do is not to accept Jesus. It's not to listen to what he's telling them. He's there for them, that God sent him for them. But he doesn't, that's not the first thing they do. The first thing they do is try to manipulate some stuff. They're like, first thing they're doing is they're trying to plug holes. They're trying to manipulate. They're trying to throw this guy in jail, get him out of there, get whatever. They need to get rid of him because they're going to lose some power. They're going to lose, I mean, they're in control of everything. Like, these people have the power to, I mean, they're the rulers of everything at this time. I mean, people come to them for all advice. They come to them for, decisions that need to be made as far as criminal decisions, whatever. If somebody does something wrong, these are the people you come to. And right now, Jesus tell them they don't even know who God is. And so instead of accepting Jesus for who he is, what do they try to do? They try to arrest him. They try to lock him up. Try to get rid of him. So another scripture comes to my mind, and this is, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. They missed the mark. You know what I'm saying? And it's easy for us to do the same thing. Slow down, Kyle. Yeah. So, when you think about these religious leaders, they followed the letter of the law to, they knew it inside and out. They memorized the whole Bible. I mean, they know it inside and out, yet they were still unable to see exactly who Jesus was or, you know, the whole message. I mean, they missed the mark totally. They didn't see who was right in front of them. And sometimes the same thing happens to us. And I'd like to say it would be different today, but it's not. It's, you know, the selfishness, self-centeredness, you know, the fear that we're going to lose something that we work our entire lives to build up some kind of semblance of control over lives, some stature, some the way people see or perceive us. We're working on this, and then somehow the rug gets pulled out from underneath us, and instead of, you know, taking the direction of Jesus and following and letting him have control of our lives, turning our will and direction over to him, instead of doing that, we try to plug holes. We try to manipulate. We try to change some stuff up. We need that control. And I know, mainly I'm speaking for myself. I know this, like when I say I give my life to Jesus, it's good for a minute. Like I start seeing stuff happening, stuff going good in my life, but then stuff like I talk to my family and I tell them, "Hey, Jesus saved my life." I don't know about you guys, but I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And when I say Jesus saved my life, and I say, you know, I'm following him now, I'm doing something different than I did before. It's like I get these, "Well, that's a good job, Kyle. You're doing great. I'm glad to see that you've grown up and that you've got control over your life now and that you're, you know, making great decisions and you're really doing good stuff." That's a trap for me. I will get caught up. You tell me that I'm making all the right decisions and all the stuff that I'm doing is so great and what a great job I've done turning my life around, I'm in trouble if I buy into that. I got to give credit where credit's due. Jesus is the one that saved my life. Jesus is where I take my direction today. But I can't fault my parents for that type of stuff. You don't see them in church today. You know, they don't necessarily believe, and that's just the way it is. They think you grow up to a certain age, and then pretty soon you just all of a sudden, I guess, get smart and make right decisions. It's not the way it works for me. So, earlier in John chapter 7, if you read back in the beginning of it, Jesus has earthly siblings. Jesus got brothers and sisters right here on earth. And those brothers, they tried to send him to this festival. They busted him out and they're mocking him. They don't believe that he is who he says he is. They're trying to get him to go over there and make a name for himself. Trying to get him to how special he is and all the things that he can do, his miraculous signs, pretty much making fun of him, mocking him. These are his siblings. Jesus wasn't here to make a name for himself. Jesus was here to do God's will. And he, thank you, Jesus, that you did do that, because you know, he died for all of us. But here's the thing. It reminds me of exactly how it is for me, and I'm sure a lot of other people here today. Like, we give our lives over to Jesus, and we start walking with him. We start learning about him. We start taking direction from other people that have been following him for longer than us. And similar to my parents, but you know, there's people that you ran with your entire life, you know, and they know you. They've known all the little things that you've done, the dirty, the horrible, the lying, the thieving, the stealing. I mean, you name it. They've seen all the horrible things that you've done. And now you're a Christian following Jesus? Yeah. If he's a Christian, I'm not sure I want to be one. Like, whoa, okay, thank you. That's super cool. Or, you know, it'll just be a minute, you know. Don't worry. I know Kyle, you know. It won't be long. He'll be back to the same old stuff. You can't trust that dude for nothing. He's going to take whatever you got as soon as you turn your head. Guaranteed. He's just in there trying to make, He's trying to get in where, you know, where he doesn't fit in. He's trying to, he's got some other avenue, some other angle he's trying to work right now. You know, Christ ain't, you know, pretty much talking down Christ. The reality is, there's lots and lots of people from my past that you could walk up on and talk to about Kyle Gloria. And if you told them, and you tell them, oh, yeah, I know Kyle Gloria, you know, he's the team captain at Maywood Baptist Church. I've seen him up there preaching. I've seen him, you know, he's got Bible study. He's doing this. He's doing that. God's really doing some stuff in his life. They are not going to believe you. This is 6 years later. This is 6 years after Jesus had walked into my life and started doing things. 6 years after I decided that, hey, I need to try something else. I need to start giving up more of me and pouring something else. I need to start giving up parts of myself and letting Jesus go in and work on them. Here's the thing is, my mind, for all that it is, like, I can forget that Jesus, the resistance that I get is not really so much from the family members, from the people talking. The resistance that I get today is kind of what I was talking about earlier, is I start getting comfortable. I start thinking that I'm running something. I start thinking that I know best. I start thinking that I've made these great decisions that people keep telling me how good I'm doing and how great of decisions I'm making. Well, guess what? I don't really need Jesus right now. He's already fixed me. This is a trap again. I surround myself with a lot of recovery people. I surround myself with, I mean, I'm blessed to be a part of this church and the people that come here. But the reality is, I get to see what happens when you forget that you have that you're not in control of your life. I get to see what happens when you take the wheel back. I get to see how fast you stumble and fall and how hard it is to get back up. So I got pages and pages of stuff here, but I just zoomed through whatever. So well, thank you, Jesus, for that. So, totally forgot where I'm at. My ears aren't red, are they? It sure feels like it. Totally forgot where I'm at. I hear you. Should have prayed a little bit more. So what I guess where I was at here, Jesus, I need your help very much, is remembering that I need Jesus' help. Remembering that when I get into these spots where I'm flustered and I'm, you know, my best decision skills, my best this, my best that is not enough. Remembering that I need to take time out of my day to put Jesus first. Jesus is a model for us, and Jesus was here. When Jesus was here, like I said, he wasn't trying to make a name for himself. He was trying to do God's will, and our job today is to do Jesus' will. And there will always be, when belief comes, there will always be resistance, whether it's from family members, whether it's from internally, whether it's from, I'll tell you something else that's really hard is, you see somebody else getting blessed, and it's just not quite happening fast enough for you. Like, all right, we got sober at the same time, but this guy's doing great, and I'm still struggling here, comparing myself to that person right there and wondering how God has done all that in his life, and he hasn't done that in my life, is another trap that, a form of resistance, as you call it, like, super easy. You take your eyes off the prize. You take your eyes off of Jesus. You take your eyes off of what he's doing in your life, focusing on what Jesus is doing inside your heart and what he's doing to the people around you. And you start focusing on worldly things like what Jesus has done for somebody else or what Jesus has done you know, how fast it happened for that person or that person, and then you start wanting to take the wheel back again. That's it, dude. All of a sudden you're like, oh, you know, well, if I had this, if I had a car, if I had a better paying job, if I had this or that, God just ain't giving me that stuff fast enough, so then I think maybe I'll just do that. And then it's, the fall is great again. You can't compare yourself to other people. You can't, that's all, the resistance that's there is this, that's an internal resistance. You don't think God's moving fast enough in your life when, you know, 2 weeks ago you was sleeping under a bridge and you was, you know, or sleeping in my case, my brother's shed for the last 2 years. And then all of a sudden, you know, now I got food, a place to stay, and God's, you know, clearing up my mind to where I can think. And these are the things we need to focus on when this resistance comes. Think about what God's blessing in your life. Think about the fact that you can hold a train of thought for more than 2 seconds. You know, think about the fact that people don't mind being around you today. Think about the people that you come in contact, how you can be a blessing to them, how that you can focus. The main thing I'm going to say to you guys is this. Whenever you commit to Jesus, a lot of you is going to have to die. And you're going to have to face the fact that you're not in control. You're going to have to, some of us are going to have to pay attention to the people that have been doing this longer and been following Jesus longer than us. Some of us could just, a lot of us just get into the Word and just search out for ourselves. That's actually what Jesus tells us to do, is stay in the Word. And I've had some pretty good mentors, and the reality is helping other people is one of the easiest ways to get out of yourself. And when you're focusing on other people, how you can be of service to other people, how you can be of service to anybody that you come in contact with, and you commit to those type of things, these are the type of things that Jesus is calling you to do, then you forget about yourself, and he has a chance to work in you and change you and change your heart. And these things, the resistance that comes, you don't fall for it. You don't take the bait. You don't Yep. So I really, I don't have a whole bunch more to say. Like I said, I skimmed through a whole bunch of stuff, but I am going to tell you this. In closing, I know when resistance comes, we can't lean on our own understanding. We can't lean on our best thinking, and we can't fall for the delusion that we got it all under control. We need to continue. When these things come, we need to continue to put the ball back in Jesus' court. Stop. Wait a minute. Pray. Listen for what God's trying to direct you. And because the resistance is going to come, whether it comes from outside influences or it comes from internal, the resistance is there. If you're believing in Jesus and you're trying to follow Jesus, there is going to be resistance. And it's the same for everybody. So, amen.
I want to add a couple things. Kyle has some stories that maybe he's too humble to share, and I won't share all the details of them. But I know Kyle was going through something, this was a long time ago, going through something that was really hard, and it was really stressful. And Kyle made the decision not to run away from the stressful situation, even though he's getting all this advice from all these different people to do different stuff. Kyle chose to go spend more time alone with Jesus each day than he was used to, because he knew he was going to have to go through this hard thing. He had the humility in a daily way to say, I need more time alone with Jesus because I'm not able to handle this. How many of us get to a spot in life and we think, I can't handle this, and so we somehow hit eject. We somehow get ourselves out of that, or we run away from it, Kyle's solution was to go through that hard thing, but to say, I have to have more of Jesus. And he did it in a real practical way. And then I gave Kyle some advice. I won't go into the details on this. You can tell more on any of these stories if you want. Of here recently, I say, Kyle, you have a lot of clean time, and this might sound like advice I might give to somebody that has less clean time, but you need to handle this situation in this way, like in a cautious way, because it's a real temptation. And Kyle did exactly what I told him to do, even though it was kind of humbling to do it the way I told him to do it. And I can tell you from pastoring a lot of people, when you tell somebody who feels like they're at a certain spot that they need to do something in a humble way because this is dangerous, a lot of people don't have the humility to do it that way. You know, so like how do you handle the resistance that comes up? Kyle has a lot of stories, but those are stories I've seen in Kyle. It's like every single one of us, if we try to follow Jesus, we're going to run into stuff that we can't handle. And we're going to have these opportunities, like Kyle said, where part of you can die if you want to do it Jesus' way. Your pride or your self-sufficiency is going to have to die to do it Jesus' way. And the Pharisees would rather arrest an innocent man than to let their pride or their power go. And a lot of us will do crazy stuff rather than let our pride or our power go, you know? So I don't know if you want to cap off any of that.
So in my head it sounded a whole lot like what Jake was preaching, just to let you guys know that. That's what I meant to say. So Jake makes me sound so, you know, so good, but the reality is I am not that good. I do take direction because guess what? I don't know what's, I know the very few things that I do know is that Jesus is real. I know Jesus saves lives. I know that Jesus, what Jesus does for one person, he will do for anybody. He's not a respecter of persons. I know that I was a hopeless drug addict, junkie, that nobody wanted to be around. My family was away from me, and I was just, I was the type of person that I looked down at growing up my entire life. Like, I would not stay away from that type of person right there. And he's raised me up to something different, and he continues to change me from the inside out. That only works if I'm humble enough to take direction from Jesus, and sometimes, a lot of the times, I get Jesus' voice confused in my head with my own, so I have to take direction from people that have been following him a lot longer than me. And when I can do that, I can let my pride and ego, my selfishness, self-centeredness, when I can take that and set that aside and take that direction, my life gets better. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I just pray that as we leave here today, that you move into people's hearts, Lord, that whatever message was put out there today, Lord, that there was something, some seed that will, you know, fall on some fertile soil, Lord, and that you would continue to nurture that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.